Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road.
See where we go from here. It looks like the FBI director pulled a Roberts on us. I'll tell you what I mean here in just a minute. Welcome to the show, folks. We're so glad to be back in the saddle. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show, coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me this afternoon is none other than the chairman of the board. They're begging him to come back, Michael McBath.
Chris, it's great to be here after such a long weekend. I told you a little bit earlier, I don't know if any of our listeners do this, but I went scalloping.
Scalloping?
How about this? You know, everybody talks about shrimping and all that.
We call it scalloping
right,
here.
Scalloping. I call it delicious eating. But, you know, you can catch, I mean, pounds and pounds of it, and you just go over to Ozella or off the Crystal River.
Yeah.
And there's just tons of people out there, and it's about, I don't know, an 8-9 week season, and everybody has a good time. But that was different.
Good way to cool off on a hot weekend.
You could get your mind off of Hillary.
Ooh, yeah. Well,
we got our minds back on it.
Now, we also have in the studio with us Aubrey Kahn. Aubrey Kahn, of course, hosts the Talk to the Experts show, and they'll be back live this Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m.
Yes, we're looking forward to it. It's been 2 weeks without a broadcast.
Yeah, and of course he sits in with us on Sunday nights with the three-hour classic edition of the American Adversaries. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. And we're going to get right to all the big news that happened over the weekend. But first, once again, I want to remind you, if you've not already, please download the free WORL-FM AM app into your smart mobile device. That way you can, of course, listen to us anywhere you go. But you can also listen to us live as we continue the show when the Tampa Bay Rays clip us a little bit, which they're going to do tonight at 6:30. The bad news is we're going to, you know, get clipped, I think, three or four times this week. But then the last 3 weeks of July, we'll have the full 2 hours each night, each week.
Chris, I was thinking if they keep clipping us, what we should do, until they start getting a winning record, we should be clipping them about an hour.
Well, they'll never be on the air.
I know.
Not this season, anyway.
But we got to help them.
Yeah. I knew their season was doomed when their pitcher pitched a one-hit game and they lost 2-1.
Yeah.
Anyway, Nick's on the bridge. We also have, if you download that free app, and by the way, if you don't have a smart device, you can always listen to us live at am660theanswer.com. When the Rays come on, or anytime, obviously, or go to our website, American Adversaries, and hit the Listen Live button on the home page, and you'll get the signal.
Question for you, though, Chris. I think that our listeners want to know, what is a smart device? Because usually the people who have a smart device are so dumb they don't know how to operate it.
Well, I know that my smart device made me feel dumb. I know that.
I know.
All right, but
what is a smart device?
Yeah, and of course, David Levitt would happen to be in Venezuela. I dropped my phone the other day and broke it again. I need him.
What is he doing down there? There's no money, there's no anything.
I know. His wife's from down there.
He's trying to get away from Chris because Chris keeps breaking his phone.
Oh, okay.
When I heard he was going down there, I said, make sure you take plenty of toilet paper. And he said, we'd already sent a carton ahead.
I would tell him we probably won't see him again. Have a good trip.
Yeah, he could sell that on the black market.
Hopefully he'll be back in town. But anyway, you can also participate if you have downloaded that app into your smart device in our poll questions. And we got a good one today, and it's going to set us up for our conversation. So, Nick LoCicero, take us away.
All right. Well, as you're going to talk about, Chris, the FBI announced today that it's not recommending charges be brought against Hillary Clinton for her use of a private email server while Secretary of State. So we're asking today, who does this finding, this report, this announcement, who does it hurt more? Does it hurt Hillary? Does it hurt Donald Trump, or neither? Right now, we just got up a little while ago. We do got a few votes in, and Hillary Clinton's at a 60 to 40% lead.
So, in other words,
hurting her more.
Hurting her more. So, yep. In actuality, the way you've worded the question, the more votes she gets, the worse it is for her.
That is correct.
According to our poll.
Yep.
And I think that, too. I think that there's definitely a silver lining to this cloud. And I want to kind of go all the way around and get back to the start, which is, I know that there was definitely a sting there. As a matter of fact, it kind of reminded me, especially when Saturday, you know, I get up and I hear that she's at the FBI headquarters, and then later on, I hear that she's done after a 3.5-hour interview. You know what it reminded me of? The 3.5-hour interview. Mm-hmm. Now, this is after a year-long investigation, supposedly up to 100 FBI agents, and they're going to interview her for 3.5 hours. Do you remember a trial that went on for about 8 months, and the jury deliberated for about three and a half hours and came back with a verdict that was highly controversial? Do you, Mike, remember the trial?
Not sure. Tell me.
Your buddy.
Oh, O.J.
O.J.
Well, I don't put those. Well, yes, they
see,
are.
The
They're both criminals.
And the point I'm trying to make is,
they're in the same category.
And the disappointment a lot of people probably felt was very similar today as when that O.J. verdict came down.
No, that's a very good
1994,
yeah, that's
95.
A very good comparison.
Right?
Yeah.
And so,
a lot of shock and a lot of resentment.
Right, exactly.
Oh,
because you see that justice was not done.
Yeah, justice was
and
not
done. And this is why I say that James Comey pulled a John Roberts. He pulled a Roberts on us.
Do you think when he did that, though, he just didn't want to go through the aggravation of upsetting the political system
so much? I do.
Okay.
And I'm going to get to that, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to get to that, too. I believe that basically he has said, and this is something that's similar that John Roberts said, and that is that if you want to do something about it, the polling place is right down the street.
That's exactly how I feel. If you people don't like it, go vote.
That's right.
I'm not making the decision.
You see, and here's the silver lining. The difference between this and the O.J. verdict is there wasn't a damn thing that we could do about the O.J. verdict. We simply had to accept it. There was nothing we could do.
Right.
Now, he ended up screwing himself over anyway, so justice was done, okay? But we can do something about this. And what we can do is we can whoop her at the polls, which is where I think it should be done anyway. I was actually relieved when I heard the verdict. And here's why. I thought that if she was indicted, that she would be traded out for Joe Biden, and Joe Biden would be, in my opinion, the next president of the United States.
I would concur with you because Joe has too nice a personality, even though he's an absolute dumbo. I mean, it is a case he's
appealing. That's his biggest knock.
Right, but it might be his biggest positive if he were the guy running for president.
He would be very likable.
Very effective against Trump, where Hillary is going to struggle against Trump.
You know, I was texting with Carl a little bit today, and he said, oh, yeah, Trump would lose in a landslide to Biden.
Right.
There's no question in my mind about it. The people who are wary, Republicans who are wary,
they'll take the nice guy.
Right. They would flock to Biden.
The nice guy's still in it.
Right. But see, with Hillary still in it, they still, you know, they can't go there.
Now,
they may not vote for Trump, but they're not going to go to her.
Right.
So we still got at least the opportunity to convince them to vote for Trump.
I agree.
I believe that this, at the end of the day, I concur with our audience that this hurts Hillary much more than it does Donald Trump. And because it confirms his narrative, at least in a lot of people's minds, that the fix is in. What'd you call it last week? The Phoenix?
The fix in Phoenix, which I think was extremely appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And now
turned
we
into
call the whitewash in Washington.
There you go.
I mean, you talk about labeling two things absolutely correctly. That's the way we put it to the American people.
And he, like Bernie, and Bernie's been making this argument too, don't forget, that the fix is in out there. We're all getting screwed by the people who do the fixes, right?
Right.
And here we got a case of the fix being in. And we'll get back to that Phoenix thing, too.
Bernie's a little hot about this. Because I think he was counting her
Don't
you think so?
Let's just say he's very disappointed.
I can see him at the convention. Just his head's going to be burning. You know what I mean?
Well, apparently a lot of his supporters are buying up the spaces at the campgrounds around the convention.
Oh, really?
They intend to raise havoc.
Bernie's battle.
You know, we called this on the Sunday night show a couple of weeks ago when I said, you remember when they had that little sit down up there in the House of Representatives? Mm-hmm. I said, they are sending a signal that civil disobedience is going to be called for, and you can expect a lot more of this. And lo and behold, there was an article, a Black Lives Matter guy says, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to be sitting down. Right. If sitting down in Washington's okay, we'll be sitting down in, I forget where it is, the Democrats are having their convention. So, they intend to disrupt it. But to get back to the original point is that Hillary Clinton was, let's just say, like the Benghazi report, what James Comey did produce today was a gold mine of information that, if it's dug up, polished up, and used by the Trump campaign, can be devastating. Because, as I said, it confirms his narrative, and yet it goes right to the heart of her narrative, just like the Benghazi thing. You remember I said that Benghazi report could hurt her because she was seen stronger in foreign policy, right? This goes right to her argument that she has the judgment, she has the temperament, she's been tested, all of this. Well, she failed the test.
What I like, Chris, was how effectively he framed her in this. You know, the framing of his argument was very good until the end. And if they do this right in advertising, just like Benghazi, they can slay her so quickly, but they got to do it right.
You know, it's interesting you say that because when I heard he was going to be making the announcement at 11 o'clock, and I knew it basically. when I found out that Obama and Hillary were going to be making a campaign appearance on the same day.
Yeah, the
FBI,
result was obvious.
Yeah, and then the FBI director comes out and says, nobody knows what I'm going to say. And I'm thinking, I bet somebody's got a pretty damn good idea what you're going to say, or he wouldn't be going to North Carolina with Hillary Clinton. And that takes me. Going to get back to the Phoenix thing on the tarmac, because see, all this now kind of makes a whole lot more sense that we can sort of, you know, looking back, hindsight obviously, but the point I was going to make is that that Hillary today was revealed as being an incompetent buffoon. Right?
That's fair. Was fair. Once you see the evidence, there was no other conclusion you could draw.
And the way he made the argument, at first I was thinking, no way he's going to say he's going to indict her. But then he's just building his argument. I'm going, well, doggone, it sounds like he actually is building towards something here.
I thought they were going to whack her.
But then he used that word. That word, that whenever you hear this word, you know you're going to get ready to get screwed somehow. And that word was, however. Right? He builds all this evidence, and then he goes, however, and then I go, okay, he's not going to indict her.
Yeah.
And so, or recommend it anyway. And so initially, you know, it was the OJ sting. But then I'm going, why am I unhappy? I actually feared her being indicted so that Obama could put Biden. Look at it this way. Obama doesn't want her to be there either.
Right.
This is not a bad day. This is a good day for Republicans. And it is a very bad day for Hillary Clinton. Even if Donald Trump screws it up, it's still a bad day for Hillary Clinton. There's no getting around that James Comey chewed up and spit out all of her arguments as to why she should be president of the United States of America.
Did you see their official statement today, though, from the Democratic Party? It had to make you sick. Her campaign manager today, Hillary admitted that she made a mistake and was glad the issue is over. It was that simplistic. I don't think so. I think we're going to be looking at this issue for quite a long period of time.
I guarantee you we will.
To make such a statement, she would have been better off not speaking.
This is going to be a constant narrative now in Donald Trump's campaign speeches because, like I said, it underlines, it highlights his charges of the fix is in.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes right to the heart of her proclamations that she has the experience, that she's tough, she's been tried. Oh, she made a little mistake.
A little mistake.
Yeah, and we're going to get back to the when
the
we come
mistakes.
Back. Yeah, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to get to the fact that James Comey pulled a John Roberts. I'm going to explain what I mean by that because he did lay out enough evidence that any reasonable prosecutor, as Giuliani would say,
could have gone the other way.
Would have found it necessary to go the other way, not just could have.
Put her in the big house, Chris.
Yeah. All right. No, I'd rather.
Maybe there'll be another shot at her. We'll see.
I'd rather whoop her in the ring, and that's what we're fickin' to do. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live. All right, 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to get in on the conversation with Mike McBath, Aubrey Conn, and myself, Christopher Hart. We were talking about this announcement by the FBI director this morning. I kind of want to go back a little bit to the Fix in Phoenix, as Mike called it last week.
Yeah. Very appropriately named.
Right. And we were wondering, I was speculating as to why these two seasoned law enforcement officials, that of course would be Bill Clinton and Loretta Lynch, would do such a thing. Because obviously it was way out of line. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's still highly questionable.
Mm-hmm.
And it, as I said that day, and as Loretta Lynch herself said the next day, it cast a long shadow over what happened today with the FBI director. But, you know, the more I thought about it, the more I was beginning to wonder, I wonder how many other little rendezvous they might have had. Right?
Chris, I'm sure they had various ways of communicating, you know, and this was
obviously
an issue that they were caught by that reporter.
That was it.
This was truly to be hidden from the American people, and they got drilled. And what an inconvenient time when they knew what was coming out. They knew what was coming out today. You know that.
All right. Now, we know that the Secret Service guards the president and his family and ex-presidents, right? We know that, right, Aubrey?
Right.
All right. But who guards the attorney general? Who drives her around and who provides her security protection?
Well, I thought the president's
Secret Service?
Yeah.
No.
Who?
The FBI. So, obviously, the FBI knows wherever she goes and whoever she contacts, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, the FBI knew what was happening that day. As a matter of fact, the FBI facilitated it that day. Because, according to the reporter, it was the FBI agents who were telling people, no cameras, no pictures, no nothing, stay away. Okay? So, James Comey's guys, or gals, or whatever. Are right there. Obviously, you would think they'd be reporting to him, and he was knowing what was going on. So, let's assume that he's trying to conduct an investigation on the up and up. Now, this is all we were all told, he's on the up and up guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he hears about this. So, he knows. Now, you know, the fix is kind of in,
right?
Now, you mentioned the political thing a little while ago, and I want to go back to John Roberts, because according to what the FBI director presented today, he presented enough of a case that Hillary Clinton could have, and according to Rudy Giuliani, should have been indicted under Federal Code Statute 18-793F. And what Federal Code 18-793F says is that gross negligence in the handling of top security or secure information is a felony, punishable by perhaps federal prison time, or at least a fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And he made this argument and then said, however, we found no intent. Well, according to Federal Code 18-793, all you need to show is gross negligence.
Right.
Now, he characterized what she did at the very beginning as extremely careless. Now, I know, you know, we use words, and it's, you know, a lot of times, you know, the idea of semantics comes up. But can anybody really describe to me the difference between extremely careless and gross negligence?
Or intentional misconduct.
But see, he was saying that they couldn't find any intent. Now, in this federal code, it is not required to show intent. There is another federal code that does require to show intent to be prosecuted under that code. But under Federal Code 18793F, you do not have to show intent. All you have to show is gross negligence. And his whole argument this morning, the business about her using multiple unsecured devices in adversarial lands, that she was using personal email, and obviously he couldn't prove it, but it would be, you know, pretty stupid to think that the Russians and Chinese hadn't gotten information from it. So he made the whole argument that she was grossly negligent and then turned around and said, but because there's no intent, no reasonable prosecutor would prosecute.
But how does he know there wasn't any intent when he's not in the minds of the people that are performing the acts?
Well,
they're getting it from reading.
Legally,
they're just getting it from what they read.
But I can understand that, because legally speaking, intent is pretty difficult to prove.
Well, see, then
okay?
There we go. We just
all right, now see, that's how
words.
They got. That's how they got Petraeus, though.
Right.
They got Petraeus on intent that he purposely showed it to his girlfriend, the secret information, because it was on her computer, right?
Right.
She had access to it, and then he tried to cover it up. All right, now they are saying they could find no evidence of cover up, even though
30,000 emails.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And you got all these lost emails. There
but
has
once again,
to be intent. Why do you lose all these things?
But intent didn't matter.
I know.
Okay? Intent in Federal Code 18. Look it up. Federal Code 18793F. Okay? Intent is not a part of it. It's simply a case of gross negligence. That's but we'll continue this on the other side. You know, but I'm happy. I'm good with this today because it makes the election far more winnable in the...
The FBI. Brought to you by Barack Obama Productions.
Wasn't that Efren Zimbalist Jr.?
Yes.
FBI. I'd like to see him in action now.
He was the assistant director, if you remember.
That's right.
In the show.
Know,
that's right.
I'd like to see that now to take care of all these problems.
Oh, boy. Yeah, back in the day when the FBI was a little bit different than today, huh? I don't blame the FBI. I think that John Roberts, listen to me. I think that James Comey presented the case this morning, and I think basically, he said, when he said, however, and he went into this intent business, he rewrote the law. He, in essence, rewrote the law. He said intent doesn't matter. And clearly, in Federal Code 18793F, intent doesn't matter at all. It is simply gross negligence is the only bar you have to achieve. And the case that he presented was one of gross negligence. He called it extremely careless.
Which is not the same as gross negligence.
Which is probably why he chose those words very carefully, obviously.
Right.
He's a very smart guy. And so, yeah, he stayed away from that. But I think at the end of the day, he realized, and especially after his agents told him about the little tryst at the Phoenix airport, where I believe what was happening was, they did take the risk because Loretta Lynch was there to tell him, okay, we all know the interview is going to be Saturday. Everything is cool as long as you do X, Y, and Z. Okay, here's what they have. This is what happened now, I believe, in Phoenix, is Loretta Lynch was there to brief Bill Clinton on the investigation. She was there to bring him up to date on the investigation.
You mean up to date that she revealed what was going to happen on Tuesday, which I believe she might have known?
Well, what I'm saying is I believe that she revealed to Bill Clinton everything that the FBI knew, basically.
Look,
and said, as long as you go in there and say, I made a mistake, I didn't mean to do it, everything's going to be cool. Okay? Have a nice day. And so that was a courtesy call, but it wasn't a courtesy call in the sense that get ready, you're going to be indicted. It was a courtesy call that everything is cool as long as.
Don't make a mistake.
Don't right. screw up. Exactly. We got this thing covered, right? And then Comey catches wind of this, right? And it may not have been the first time. So he's sitting there thinking, doesn't matter what I come up with. These yokels over there aren't going to do a damn thing with it. So I'm not going to create a constitutional issue here over this. Right. I'm going to leave it up to the voters. And that's what John Roberts, in essence, did.
I don't know if Comey thought along those lines. First of all, you got to remember that Clinton knew when her plane was going to come in because he was supposed to leave 45 minutes before her plane landed. That was number one. Number two, he had said before that if they don't indict her, that the FBI would be releasing the information to the public.
Right.
All right? Someone got to him.
Well, first of all, it doesn't matter. When Comey found out, if he didn't already know ahead of time, maybe he was part of the chain of command, so to speak. He was in the loop. But if he didn't know ahead of time, then once he found out that they had met on that tarmac in private, he knew that the Phoenix Fix
right.
was in. So he went ahead and did the Washington whitewash, I think. And as I said, he could have easily gone the other way. He presented a case that he could have said, and now considering having presented all of this, according to Federal Code 18793F, and he could have read the pertinent right. lines, I'm going to have to, my hands are tied, I'm going to have to recommend indictment. But as I said, there's two things going on here. We've talked about this all along. There's the legal part of this. And then there's the political part of this. The legal part of this, we want to see her, you know, have to face justice. But at the end of the day, that would have been disastrous, in my opinion, politically speaking, for Donald Trump. He got the best of all outcomes in this today.
Well, I agree with you on all that. But again, I'm going to go back to the unintentional side. You take a look, and she really created a labyrinth of confusion on these emails. They showed all the things she did to hide it, the scrubbing.
Yeah.
They said it was like putting a pieces of puzzle together.
Yeah.
They went, I mean, the money they spent and all right. this. Does that look like it's unintentional? Am I? What?
That's why I say he
How
pulled,
do you come up with unintentional?
He pulled a John Roberts. He basically turned the argument around and said it doesn't matter. It's now in. You know, in the political arena.
I mean, I understand where you're going, and that was probably maybe, I don't know, well, it's going to work out best for Republicans anyway that way.
I think.
But the reality of it, all these lifetime FBI guys who know that the lady is as crooked as the day is long, they just must sit there and go, you know, we spent a whole year on this. We spent, you know, tens of millions of dollars. And this is all she gets?
You saw the O.J. special, didn't you?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the reaction of Chris Darden in the press conference after it?
Right.
What did he do?
Right.
He broke down crying. He couldn't continue.
Enough
I'm sure there's a lot of broken hearts in the FBI.
Well, then we can count on somebody leaking,
I
would
bet. We can do something about it, though.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Take her out of the election.
We couldn't do anything about O.J., but we can whoop her, and we can whoop her soundly at the polls. And all these people out there who, you know, they're conscientious and they're Mitt Romney and all of this stuff.
Those
okay,
people.
Well, are we going to be a damn banana republic or are we going to be the United States of America again?
Mm-hmm.
Well, today we're a banana republic, but we can change that. We can change it in November. So I'm happy because to me, the fight is where it belongs to begin with, in the political arena. I would much rather beat these people in the political arena than have them indicted in a court of law. Let's beat them first and then indict them. How about that?
But, you know, his case was so good, meaning for the way he laid it out, that I do believe he educated some of the liberals who were, you know, sitting on the side of Hillary. When they saw the evidence as clearly laid out as that, no matter the fact that she was, you know, released, we'll call it, hey, you know, you guys,
she's skating.
We got her. She's skating through.
Yeah,
again, this is crooked Hillary at her finest. This is the queen.
We used to call it skating.
But she lives to continue doing it.
And
even if she does not become president, if she had been indicted and gone to jail, yes, Joe Biden would have been running. However,
And this is something that you cannot get away from. Joe Biden is part of the administration.
Sure.
He is the number two is as far as being in charge. There is sufficient evidence with Benghazi and emails tying it also back to the White House.
Yes.
And so it could have been hung on him as well, and he would have been defeated too.
Comey said as much today. He said that not only did she know what she was doing was against policy, rules, whatever you want to call it, but that everybody that was doing it with her knew.
Which and that means, included the White House.
Exactly, the president himself. So the FBI director is looking at all of this, and he's going, this is a big problem, okay? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to dump it on the American public. Because if I push this further, look who is now I would have to include in the investigation. He actually should have extended the investigation and included fat Loretta Lynch in it. Because she messed up the investigation by meeting with Bill Clinton before the before his wife was interrogated by the FBI. Mere days. She is now, should be a part of the investigation. So he's looking at this and he's going, every damn body in Washington, D.C. is a part of this mess.
Right. And then the other thing, Chris, is this enemy thing where he goes, well, we can't prove that, you know, important information was relayed to the enemies, right? Through Hatch. Well, guess what? Then he goes, but we're going to make the assumption it was.
Because.
I would make the assumption it was, too. No
because
kidding.
Because the security was not there and for the server
and
in the beginning.
And they still haven't found all the emails.
And that she was using multiple devices after she had told us, remember, she only used one device, that she was using multiple devices in areas that were known to be adversarial or I think
and
you used hostile.
And she did swear she never sent out one email. That had class that was classified, and she didn't.
Right.
She sent out hundreds and hundreds.
So basically, with a wink and a nod, he's saying, okay, Republicans, here's what
turn.
You need.
Take her out.
But take her out.
You know what? That did not work in the past because John Roberts was a Republican nominee that got placed there because he was supposedly a conservative and... constitutionalist.
See, here's where the Republicans have been making their mistake right up to now, is that they've been relying on the justice officials to do something about the Clintons. They have got to be whipped at the polls. That's where you beat these people. Even if she'd have been indicted, there would have been a groundswell of sympathy and support amongst all the liberal loons out there for her. That is not going to exist now.
No, because they are now overjoyed because she's been exonerated.
Yeah, but see, what they have also done is they have sprayed water on the hornet's nest. Okay? Yeah, they're going to be overjoyed, but overjoyed leads to complacency. Anger leads to action. Okay? So this is going to benefit Trump and hurt Hillary. I guarantee you. Will it be enough for him to win the election by itself? Probably not. But when you add in all of the elements, the Benghazi report, this, her unlikability, untrustability, all of the Clinton dalliances, the Bill Clinton dalliances, all of these things.
Ben Foster. It just goes on and on and on and never stops.
And Trump is going to be relentless in hammering this home, and the media is going to hate it.
Do you think the rats will come back, the Republicans against Trump?
We shall see.
In all seriousness, I think you'll see some of them start to come back. The rats will turn into...
Do you think the media is going to report it?
At this point, they'll be following him, and he'll be reporting it. And so it's going to be getting out there.
But they won't necessarily be showing it.
Look, I was talking to my brother about this morning, and I think he made quite the brilliant analogy. He said these liberals, as he calls them now, communists, are like the Terminator.
Okay.
They are...
They're going to terminate the nation is what's going to happen.
Well, they are relentless. Okay? Mm-hmm. They don't stop. They keep coming. Right. They're unreasonable. You can't deal with them because they don't care. All they want to do, and they will not stop until they kill you. okay? So we can either lay down and let them kill us because we know the fix is in, we know they're going to do this, we know the media is going to help them, or we can get mad and kick the hell out of them, okay? We can do this. But if we're just going to lay back and give us all the reasons why we can't do it, well, we might as well just pack it in and go home. No. As I said, yeah, this has the sting of the OJ verdict. The difference is, though, we couldn't do a damn thing about the OJ verdict but live with it. Well, we can do something about this.
You know what? I'm getting fired up to go out and campaign for Trump. Be true to your school. It's the number one rule. Chris, you're getting pumped up, buddy.
Well, yeah. So I'm sorry, Al. No, but Al got tired of holding. I was getting ready to
the interesting thing, too, though, again, is I watched the liberal stations today, too. And I will say they were pretty much upset about it because it really was an indictment, as we mentioned, on Hillary. And I think that they really were educated by how thorough the investigation was. So in an argument against your adversary, you don't have much to argue other than technically we couldn't put you in jail where you belong.
Yeah, I think as I watched it, I was going
back. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, and I was going back and forth to your point. It was on CNN, and I think it was Wolf Blitzer, but it was one of their talking heads.
The Blitz
said
man.
That this was an indictment without charges.
Yeah,
and it was.
It was.
It was an indictment
clear.
Without charges.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And what he should have done, if anything, was to say, and now, once he presented all the evidence, and he says, and now I'm going to turn it over to the prosecutors, and they're going to decide what to do.
Right.
Okay? Because basically, he took the decision out of the prosecutor's hands.
Well, Loretta Lynch said that she would follow the direction of the FBI.
And the career prosecutors in the Justice Department, you see.
And it's not going to get to the career prosecutors because it's been
short-circuited by James Comey. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, in essence, I think James Comey shut this thing down because, for lack of a better word, he saw how big and how nasty it was.
And I think he just shot himself in the foot, too, because his days in government are over.
Not if Hillary gets elected.
That's true.
He'll be Attorney General.
And by the way, Hillary has also said that if she's elected, she will keep Loretta Lynch as the Attorney General. How about that? See, all of this, once again, plays right into the Trump narrative, and it undercuts her narrative. Now, we'll see what happens. Like I say, we can do something about this. Will we? That's up to you folks. I know we will be doing something about it.
100%.
All right. Stan, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you being there.
Yeah, Chris, I understand your political argument about Biden and all that, but the problem is this is the death. Today marks the final nail in the coffin of the rule of law, and when it's coming from a Republican appointee, as I James Comey, of good reputation, it's very scary. I mean, I don't know. You know, he laid out indictment material, gross negligence, the very minimum, which is can be translated into intention.
Yep.
And then he doesn't indict. So I think that's the scariest part, not the political part.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And I said a while back, you know, if she gets indicted, we'll know that we have not taken the road to a banana republic. Well, we're taking the road to a banana republic. The point that I'm trying to make is we can do something about it. This time, we can do something about it. And that something about it is, at this point, electing Donald Trump. It's clear. You know, this is now, it's game on, battle lines clear, and it's in the arena where we can play. You see, we can't play in the legal arena, but we can show enough play in the political arena. And that's where we can make a real difference. And really, that's where we really should want to beat them.
The question is, though, Chris, are we speaking to the choir? I mean, when today at 3:15, when Hillary spoke, you know, with the Rockster, look at the audience behind her. They were people, many mixtures. They
people
were
of color,
people
a lot of
very
women.
Young, right?
Yeah.
Women. I guarantee you, they don't know one thing that came about today.
No.
Zero.
No, and that,
so,
you know, that
it's
was,
really,
those people
going to be a tough battle.
Those people were there as props.
I know,
we
they were
know
just
that.
Sitting there like simpletons, which most of them probably were.
And don't mistake that I'm saying that this is now easy to win against Hillary Clinton.
No,
it will not be.
No.
But hey, this is where we should want to win. This is where we should want to beat her. And if we do, it will be far more satisfying, believe me. And as I said, Joe Biden would be a much more difficult candidate to beat.
You think the evangelicals will be disturbed about this ruling, or do you think it doesn't mean a thing to them?
No, I think actually we should look at this two ways. We should look at this in the sense of how can this help Donald Trump get more votes?
Right.
And how can we use this to depress the people from coming out from Hillary Clinton? The right. final numbers are out from the primaries. The right. Republicans had record-setting numbers.
Right.
The Democrats had 10 million less than in 2000. In 2008 when Barack Obama. 10 million votes less than 8 years ago. They should have more.
Right. I would assume so. Obviously, okay. there's great distaste for her.
This may cause her support to wane. And that could be enough to help Donald Trump. I understand, once again, the initial sting of this. And I know what you're saying, Stan. But, you know, we kind of already have gone down this road because we went that way with John Roberts. But, yeah, this we can now conclude that we are rapidly on pace to being a banana republic where the rule of law doesn't matter, where the elites have one set of rules and the rest of us have another set. And, by the way, this intent thing, ask Gibson guitar manufacturers about intent. Okay, when they were raided by the FBI, the ATF, the DEA, the EPA, the you name it, they were there wearing body armor, carrying automatic weapons, because Gibson Guitar had used some wood from India or somewhere, which they thought was entirely legal, which the government had said was against one of the EPA rules and regulations. Intent didn't mean a damn thing. So yeah, we're banana republic, but like I said, we can do something about it, and we have to. Thank you, Stan. I appreciate the call. Let's take a break. We come back, we'll pick it up, and of course, we're going to have a contest somehow wrapped around all this, right?
For sure, we're all foaming at the mouth to get started. You know,
that's right. So we come back. Mike's going to lay out the contest rules for Thursday. I think you'll like them. Don't forget about our poll question. We'll give you an update on that here shortly too.
And when we get behind closed doors, when she lets her hair hang down, and she makes me glad that I'm a man, oh, no one knows what goes on behind closed doors.
That's what we want to know.
Chris, couldn't be a more appropriate song.
What went on behind those closed
doors? That's exactly right, and we want to get to it. And, you know, this week our contest is going to be straightforward. It's going to be one that we all got to be licking our chops to respond. What we want to know is what our listeners, what they envision, what the conversation was between Slippery Bill and Miss Loretta Lynch in that plane. Tell us what exactly you believe was the conversation. And it can be humorous or it can be, you know, serious. But we need to know now to try to change what's taking place.
All right.
So we're going to ask you yours, Chris, tomorrow.
All right.
You
know, so. Yeah. Well, I got a few ideas.
Yeah, I got a lot that I think I went on.
What went on behind closed doors?
But I don't believe
he usually goes for younger, prettier ones.
No, I mean, the one.
I'm not talking about Chris. I'm talking about Bill.
I would eliminate sex, you know, because Loretta Lynch.
Listen, Bill will chase anything.
You think so?
She wears skirts and Hillary don't. Yeah. That's right. That's right. That'll be Thursday, of course. Will be the contest Thursday, and you'll be playing for.
Probably a chance to vent. You're disgusted by all of this.
That's right. $20 gift card to Cafe Positano and a $10 gift card to Tijuana Flats. And don't forget their last blast of summer celebration that's going to be on August the 5th.
Right.
And it's free. That's a Friday. It's just right before kids go back to school.
We had a great time the last time we were all there. Yeah. It was outstanding, all the people that showed up. And I think this is going to be a bigger event. Yep. And out on the patio they have. Can you find a better place to hold an event? I'm not sure.
It's nice. And it's at the Tijuana Flats in Winter Springs at the intersection of 434 and Tuscarora Boulevard. You all are invited. The festivities kick off at 6 o'clock with a show just for the kids. And at 7 o'clock, there'll be Wendy Benson will be playing the guitar and entertaining after that. So
Grant's not going to play?
He might be there with his banjo.
You know, stringing banjo, you know.
You never know.
The banjo man.
That's right. Speaking of Grant, you know, folks, the Office of the Clerk of the Court is the position that is entrusted to protect you citizens against government waste. And when I say you citizens, I mean in Seminole County. Because the Clerk of the Court also holds the checkbook of the County Commission and keeps them accountable. And no other candidate for the Clerk of the Court has a better track record of fighting government waste in Seminole County than Grant Malloy. So please provide him your support in Seminole County for the Clerk of Court. That election will be on August the 30th.
And think of his endorsement, too. That's what impresses me most.
Yes, that's Marianne Moore.
That's right. I'm very impressed. Clerk. And, boy, he has integrity, and that's the type of people you need leading.
Ladies and gentlemen, step it right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll on a honey. Oh, I'm a roll on a honey, and you can't keep up with me.
Now that all that legal mess is out of the way, we're going to see if Donald Trump can whoop old Ms. Clanton at the ballot box. All right, welcome back to the show, or welcome to the show if you're just now able to tune us in. That's right, folks, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me today, once again, is the chairman of the board, Mike McBath. We also have Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections, in the studio with us. You can find him at orlandoshomeinspector.com. And we got Nicholas Cicero on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Look, just a little couple of programming things. Tonight and a couple more nights this week, the Rays are going to get the last 30 minutes of our show. We won't be on the airwaves, but we will still be live on AM660TheAnswer.com, or you can go to our website, AmericanAdversaries.com, hit the Listen Live button. Or, of course, if you've downloaded the free WORL-FM-AM app into your smart device, you can listen to us there. Bad news is this week we do lose some airtime. The good news is for the next 3 weeks of July, we will not lose any airtime. And, of course, that's when the conventions occur and all of that. So, and this is now a political fight. It is now, I think we can pretty easily say it is officially out of the legal arena, and it is squarely in the political arena where I believe it belonged all along. And if you have any comments, 407-774-8255 is the number. We do have a full line of phone calls. We'll get right to those. But first, I want to go to our poll question for today because it goes right to basically the heart of the discussion, which is, Nick?
Yeah, quick update here on our mobile app poll question. So the FBI came out with their report today that they're not going to recommend charges be brought against Hillary Clinton. So we're asking, who does this hurt more? Does it hurt Hillary? Does it hurt Donald Trump, or neither of them? Right now, 45% of respondents say it's going to hurt Hillary the most. 40% saying Donald Trump, with 15% saying it's not going to affect either one of them.
All right. I beg to disagree with, I guess, 55% of the people out there, because I do think that it is going to hurt Hillary Clinton. I think it goes right to the heart of Donald Trump's accusations about the fix being in, about her being stupid and incompetent, because in essence, that's what the FBI director said today, was that she was, he called it extremely careless. You can translate that to being very dumb or stupid.
But, Chris, you know, the problem with you, you just don't want to move on from this. You know, from one of the worst crimes possible. You just don't want to move on. There's something wrong with you.
Well, like I said,
I mean, after all, Hillary's put it behind her.
I mean,
she can really hide it.
Yeah, I was going to say, she put a lot more than just this behind her.
You know what I do wonder, but in all seriousness, watch this. What happens if WikiLeaks or some of the major, like, remember Guccifer or that, if they pop out a email that is so, you know, incriminating on, you know, some international situation or something, What is going to happen?
Well, first of all, the FBI is going to look pretty stupid.
Oh, my God, this would be just
devastating. But you don't think there'd be an assassination taking place?
Well, let's just put it this way.
I think this could happen. I don't think this is far-fetched.
I agree with you. I don't think this is over.
No, I don't think so at all.
But it's out of the legal arena, at least for now.
For now.
Because this isn't like an acquittal. I mean, these charges could be reinstated later on. But for now, it's squarely in the political arena.
Putin hates Obama. We know that, right?
Yep.
Huh. I believe they have all the emails. How about if they just throw one out? Just show what a fool you are, Americans, your FBI, your president, how corrupt you are?
Yeah.
I don't think this is far-fetched.
Let's put it this way, too.
In all seriousness.
Obama's not a happy man with this.
Mm-hmm.
Believe me.
Yeah, he has nowhere to go on this one.
But I believe, and I think some of our callers have made this mm-hmm. point before, she's got the goods on him, too. So yeah,
I agree. Yeah.
And I keep wanting to call him John Roberts.
All of them got the goods on each other.
Yeah. James Comey said as much today when he said not only was she being careless, but people that she was communicating with by email knew.
That whole group.
Right.
The whole group knew.
And he was one of them. So like right. I said, he's looking around. He's going, damn, me and my agents are pretty much the only ones in Washington that aren't implicated in this investigation. So let's leave this up to the voters.
Where are you? If you're listening, please get them into Washington quick.
All right. We do have some other news I want to get to, but we do have some callers on the line, and I've been making people wait much too long tonight. So let's go to Willie and then Al. So, Willie, thank you for calling, and we appreciate you holding out there.
Well, Chris, I really appreciate it, and I love your show. And I was the guy that called in, and your program manager gave me the victory for Foster Brooks. And
yeah, I remember that was one of our contests, I think, right?
Okay, so here's my comment.
Yeah.
So Bill Clinton walks on, takes the air steps up to the private jet, which we all pay for, and he sits one left, and Loretta is one right, and the first question that's asked is by Bill Clinton. So do you really weigh 280 pounds, and what color is your thong?
That was good. The only problem he has, it's the wrong night for the answer, but
well,
that was good.
Well, go ahead and put him in with it.
I'm one day early, right?
Yeah, you're a couple days early, but that's okay.
That's all right. You're fighting.
That's all right. Yeah, we'll put that down.
Yeah, we'll put it down, but we're preferably on Thursday, but that's great.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. All right. Thank you, Willie, and I appreciate your patience.
Well, that was funny, though.
It was.
Oh,
it was.
Oh.
All right, Al, thank you for calling tonight. We appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to say that we've become a banana republic. When George Zimmerman got away with murdering Trayvon Martin, when Casey Anthony got away with murdering a kid, and the countless officers out there that end up murdering black people on a daily basis and get away with it.
Well, what about O.J.? Don't leave out O.J. now.
O.J. too.
Yeah.
O.J. too.
Well,
he got away with it.
You know, I see.
He got money.
Yeah, I see where you're going, and certainly, our justice system is imperfect. There's no question about that, and we can come up with many instances of being, you know, miscarriage of justice. And I'm not going to argue with you about that, Al. But what I will say is this, and that is that in this case, we can do something about it. Because it is now in the political arena. In those other cases...
You go tell Chris Stevens and Ty Wood, mom or parents, that, yeah, we're going to get a bat by voting for Trump and see what they say.
No, here's what I do with them. I go to them and I say, I need your help. I say, we cannot allow this to be. I need your help. I need your voice. You lend me your voice, and we will fight for your son. And that's what you do in this case, because, you know, it is what it is and it ain't what it ain't. And we can't change that. But what we can do is do something about this in the political arena. And if I were Donald Trump, I would have already been on the phone, but I would be on the phone to those people and I would say, look, I'm as mad as you are about this, but here's what we can do about it. And I need your help. And that's what I would do.
If he's going to win, he better send her to jail like he said he will.
Well, and that's a whole other thing, is that this could still be revisited later. And I hope that it is. And Al, thanks again for your call. I appreciate it.
Chris, you know that movie, Hillary, the Democratic Party, is coming out in 2 weeks. That's the one by D'Souza.
Yeah.
And this is really going to be extremely indicting. And
I saw a major conversation
on that. And I'm telling you, but I always worry about, you know, you're preaching to the choir, which is probably with all, that's the problem even with Fox Network. You're always preaching to the choir. But this, can you imagine when he made the movie? I mean, there's so many things about Hillary. You know, the next week there's always something. Then the week's, you know, like, wonder if you can update it all the way up to the day it shows in about two weeks, but it's going through all the theaters in the United States. So.
Yeah, well, you're talking about preaching to the choir. I understand that. But we got a number of choir members who ain't singing.
Right, you got it.
So we need
the rats.
We need to get the choir
Republicans against Trump,
and they need to start singing. Okay,
right.
They need to start singing in tune with the rest of us, because this is now about, as Al said, as I've said on the show before, this is now no longer just about the presidency. And you know, this is, are we going to be a banana republic or not? Okay, now Britain had their chance. They had their chance to do something about their situation over there with the Brexit vote, and they voted for Brexit. Now, we'll see if it's carried through, but they stood up and they did the right thing. Are Republicans out there going to do it? Because I guarantee you, this election is going to be won by the base. Whichever party gets their base out en masse to vote will win this election. And all of this works to depress the Democrat base and increase the Republican base.
Plus, when you see what just came out from the Supreme Court, right, on affirmative action, what came out, you know, on that other issue of abortion.
Yeah.
Again, it fits in. Are these people biased? Are these people political? Yes, they all are. There's no justice.
And by the way, we got some poll numbers. And now these poll numbers are prior to all of this culmination of events, if you will, which culminated with the FBI director's statement this morning.
And we both agree this is very impressive. Actually, there was 2,162 people likely voters surveyed. It was done by Gravis and OAN Network, which is one of my favorite straight news networks. It turned out it's 50-50 Trump versus Clinton.
That's in a head-to-head match.
Head-to-head. If you add a third person, I didn't say any names, but it would be 47 Trump. Let's see right here. Here it is. It's 50-50, 47 Trump, 46 Clinton, and 7 others. So, you know, it is a case that I think, you know, Trump's right on target. Anybody, I don't know why you'd be too discouraged by his performance at this point. And it's a case on terrorism. It was Trump. In the case of job creation, it was Trump. In the case of, now, this is a simple one to figure out, transparency, Trump.
So,
you know, I'd be pretty happy where I stand relative to going into the convention, because I think they're going to put on a great show. Not a good show, a great show.
And once again, these poll numbers that he just cited were prior to the FBI director's announcement today and all this that happened over the weekend. So,
and as we both know, polls change. A couple of days would be different.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But this was devastating news for Hillary today. And I said before, even if they don't indict, they're going to come out with a scathing report. And the report, by the way, has not been issued yet. This was just a statement by the director today. They're still going to compile a report, which we hope will details of which will come out, and it will be even more damning of her behavior.
That's why I want a great vice president who is extremely verbal and who can always present this case against her, literally follow her around and just bang away, bang away, bang away, because it's just too convincing. She is not qualified to be a president.
And I think that at the end of the day, that's exactly what James Comey said this morning.
Really, he did say that
in his own way.
She shouldn't be there.
In his own way.
Let's hear something else that James Comey said today. He said, let me be clear. Sounds like Obama, right?
Yeah, what the heck?
We're not saying that someone who did something similar wouldn't have charges brought against them.
Right.
We're just not bringing charges in this particular case.
Right. Yeah, believe me, if this were a lower level State Department official, they would have been sanctioned in many different ways, maybe even going to jail.
General Petraeus.
Well, but it's a little bit different in his case, at least according to the way the FBI director was describing it today. But once again, I go back to federal statute, the federal code 18793F, where it says all you have to show is gross negligence in the handling of sensitive top secret information, and that is a chargeable as a felony offense.
Let me ask you this. Did James Comey take an oath of office to uphold the law?
He did.
Did he uphold the law?
In his mind, I suppose he did.
We're not talking about what goes on in his mind.
According to Federal Code 18793F, no, he did not uphold the law. But if you were to ask him, especially after his boss, in essence, Loretta Lynch, met with one of the subjects of the investigation, if you were to ask him if you'd have thought that those prosecutors were going to indict, I'm sure he would have said no. So what he did was he spared, if you will, the country the legal and constitutional debate or crisis, however you want to characterize it, and said instead it's a political thing. That's where it should be handled in this case. And this is not unique in American history. The Supreme Court has found its way to do this on numerous occasions. John Roberts is basically the latest example
right.
of that.
Right.
Where he
and
said,
that was devastating.
Where he said, basically, you voted for these rascals, mm-hmm. here's what you get. Which, and the message is, then if you want to do something about it, vote them out. Right?
And as time has proven, we got a terrible, terrible deal.
Look, at the end of the day, it's mm-hmm. up to us.
It was us. It was our
you
fault.
You know, we can sit around, we can be miserable, we can complain, or we can do something about it. It's as simple as that. And Comey has said, okay, you want to do something about it? Do it yourself. Okay, we will. Or we won't. We will find out. We'll take a break. When we come yeah. back, we're going to talk about the Treasury note because there was other bad news for Hillary Clinton today that had not a dang thing to do with the FBI. Welcome back to the American Adversaries, the FBI.
I love it, though. I mean, I think of Efren Gimbalist Jr. He was the man.
He was indeed. His daughter, I believe, is a producer. She was an actor. I believe she's a producer now, very successful.
Really?
All mm-hmm. right. Maybe she can give James Comey a job. All right. Welcome back to the show. And as I said, it's game on. It's political arena now. It's political time. You know, we can sit back. We can you know, be remorseful. Or we can just, you know, let's either don't get mad, get even, or let's get mad and get even. Either way.
Get to work. I mean, get out and help. You know, go door to door. Distribute literature. Do what you can do. Win this election.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And there was other bad news that came out today, which is going to haunt the Clinton campaign because it's going to haunt the Obama administration. It has to do with the 10-year Treasury note.
Yeah, Chris, we were talking about that earlier. The 10-year Treasury today closed at the lowest number in virtually the history of this country. It was down, the number was about 1.34. It's a case that we've never had it go this low, and this is indicative, really, of bad news arising. And the reason I just say that is the employment numbers come out this Friday. We all remember a month ago it was 38,000 jobs created, right? Where are we going with 38,000 jobs? Now, if you have 2 months back to back, you know, you get another month and you got a real problem. Plus, the other factor sitting out there is that the pound went to the lowest it's been in 31 years. So, you know, in England, they got a problem. And because this currency aspect really affects them, and obviously it's based upon, you know, upcoming contractual talks with the EU, et cetera. But the only good news is, if you've never seen Big Ben or been to London, go, because you're not going to get it any cheaper than this. Well, you might. But, I mean, but the real problem is when you watch that 10-year note really forebodes bad news coming. And if we slide into that recession in September, October, Hillary, maybe you wish you were indicted because you're not going anywhere. Too many people are going to lose their job. And I remember, Chris, too, we discussed that coal situation the other day, too.
Yeah, coal jobs.
There's the largest private coal company in the country is laying off 80% of their people. And guess when the layoff is? In mid-September. You think that's going to help Hillary in West Virginia, maybe Western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Kentucky? Good luck, Hillary. And then you got Obamacare coming at the beginning of November. So you got a nice, you got a nice menu coming up of which really you did a great job in promoting. So I hope you enjoy the meal.
Well, they've deferred Obamacare a number of times already.
That's what concerns me. We've talked about this a number of times.
They're going to defer it again.
Yeah. And this is going to really be a disaster.
Yeah, well, that's okay because there's plenty of other stuff out there that they're not going to be able to do anything about. As I said, I think today...
You can't even remember half that.
Yeah, I think today was a good day. And once again, it's because the resolution to this is being left up to us. All right? If you want to get something done, do it right. You got to do it yourself. Well, okay, it's up to us. Let's do it. Let's do it. You know,
the other thing, Chris, too, is do you really think the Bernie people now, if they have any brains, which maybe they don't, after listening to today, how can they support Hillary?
Well, I know that
because they don't love her anyway.
I detected a little bit of bitterness in Al's voice there, right? He wasn't too happy about what happened today, was he? No, I mean,
it's very clear her character. Very clear. There's
That's
no
right.
debate.
That's right. And by the way, we're going to be doing our contest Thursday on what were they really talking about on that tarmac, Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep. But we're also still running our Who's Going to Be Donald Trump's VP contest, right?
Joni Ernst, did somebody take her?
Joni Ernst has been taken.
I'd take her.
But Mike Pence has not. I was looking over the list earlier. Mike Pence, who did meet with Trump over the weekend, has not been chosen. So if there's somebody out
call
there,
in because you're going to have a big night if you win that.
That's right. And so once again, that's the dinner on us. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. Thank you so much for being with us. If you're listening to us now, it means you are really dedicated listeners because we're no longer on the airwaves. We're just on the internet signal. And of course, you got us on your smart devices out there. And we are conducting a poll question tonight. I'll get Nick to give us an update here in a second. But we are here. We're live until 7 o'clock. And then Larry Elder comes on. And 407-774-8255 is the number if you want to be a part of the show. And Nick, you want to give us another quick update on that poll question real quick there?
Yeah, the numbers moved a little bit here since we last talked. We're talking about the FBI's recommendation not to bring charges against Hillary Clinton. So we're asking, who does this hurt the most, Hillary, Trump, or neither? Actually, right now, it evened out where it's 42% each. Clinton and Hillary each at 42%, and the neither is at 15%.
Well, I better hush my mouth because the more I talk, the more people think it's going to benefit Hillary. I disagree with those folks. I think that this is going to hurt her in the long run. Yeah, I understand that, there's going to be the, she's off the hook type thing. But this is a devastating report that the FBI director came up with. And once again, if he'd have followed the federal code, he would have had to have recommended charges be filed. So that's not a good thing when you're running for president. I understand that she is running against Donald Trump, but once again, this plays right into his playbook. So we'll see. We'll see. All right, we were talking about the Treasury bill at a new low, and this is an all-time low.
Yeah, I mean, that's really scary, Chris, when you think of all the trauma that was in the markets in 07, 08, and 09. And the only, and that was one of the supposedly cure-alls, is that we'll lower rates, it'll, get lending out there and generate jobs, et cetera. But we've kept them down here way too long, way too artificial. But, and then also the concern you have is for all these retired people that are continuously pouring into the word retirement because of, the baby boomers. You know, we got an issue where these people are taking risks that they're over their head. I mean, you got all these people trying to get yields in the stock market, but if this market corrects, now you got a double whammy. You know, when like a 90-day or, 90-day, let's say, CD at the bank, you're going to get like 0.25 or something. Well, how are they going to be able to supplement the retirement when they were counting on You remember when money market funds normally sat at around 4 to 5% without right. taking any risk.
Annually. Yeah.
And we know, I can remember times in 89, 90 when the money markets, remember way back when they were up to like, you know, 16, 17%.
Right.
But the normal was 4 to 5. So the guy could say, you know what, I'll just count on 4%. I won't have to take any risk. Well, you know, now the poor guy is stretched out. He's set up to get waxed. And if he buys the tech stocks, which usually when they're good, they're very good, and when they're bad, you get killed.
They're very bad.
And so, you know, this is a very precarious period for many of these investors, so they got to be careful.
And there was another economic down, let's just say, bad signal today with the price of oil.
Oh,
because
down 4.88% today.
Because the demand for the oil
has
not
subsided. Right. It's backed off more than, here it's always that story, more than they anticipated. I like how they put that.
Right. I mean, it's going to be good for gas prices, but it's a bad omen for the economy.
Yeah.
Because it means the economy is slowing down. As the demand for the energy products goes down, the economy is slowing down. So these
and
are
look at Europe. I mean, Europe and Britain, and you know, you got problems everywhere. You got over leverage everywhere, and you just wonder when the balloon blows.
But you see, again, this is also another consequence of liberals' lack of forethought. With demanding more and more fuel efficiency, you are going to get less consumption,
right?
And so this is another contributing factor. You know, governments, whenever they interfere in the private sector,
mm-hmm.
they always foul up the economy.
Because they just don't follow the principles of the Republican Party.
Well, in the case of the price of fuel, what the lower prices have led to is actually the purchase of bigger cars. So even though they're more fuel efficient, some of that is mitigated by the fact that people are buying more automobiles.
Yeah, but you take a look at the construction industry. A pickup truck 5 years ago used to get 12 to 14 miles to the gallon.
Right.
Now they're getting 25.
Yeah, there is that. But the worldwide demand for oil, even in spite of that, under better economic conditions, would still be going up. Because countries around the world would be demanding more and more of it. But because the economy is sour, basically worldwide, the demand of oil is waning. And so, once again, it'll be okay. It'll be good for us at the gas pump. But the signal that it's telling us about the economy is not so good. And as the summer goes along and these economic conditions once again begin to slow or worsen, this is not going to be good for the Hillary Clinton campaign. You know, I said a while back when she became the presumptive nominee, she came out and she gave that speech. I think it was up there in New York. That was the highlight. That was the high point, I should say, I believe, of her campaign. And in essence, it has been down since then. Her poll numbers have been going down since then. We got the Benghazi report. We got the jobs report. We got the Benghazi report. There was another report by the inspector general, I believe, at the State Department. We got the FBI report here. This is not the trajectory that she should be on if she intends to win.
Well, Chris, you know, you throw all this in. Now you throw in a possible recession.
That's what I'm talking about.
Possible,
yeah.
Getting very close. I'm waiting to hear these job numbers on Friday, and then you're probably a month away or so before somebody's going to have to say, hey, things really suck, right? I mean, the Obama administration, they always act like this guy did something. We all know he's done nothing. And the reality of it is, how do you ever – and no one still talks about this deficit. We must realize, even the Republicans don't – how can we get this deficit down if we don't create 3 to 4% GDP? How do you do it?
You don't. Well,
they're not going to talk about the deficit.
I know they aren't.
Until such time as and if Donald Trump becomes president.
Right.
Because if Hillary becomes president, they're not going to talk about it then either.
They'll try to give her a pass over it, that's for sure.
Try?
But he is talking about it. He's brought it up. But, You know, this actually might be, you know, to get back to the FBI thing, it may be a unifying force in the Republican Party. Let's see what happens, because lo and behold, even St. Pauli girl Ryan's statement today was pretty bold, where he said, I'm paraphrasing, but he said that the FBI director's conclusions were unfathomable or something to that effect.
Right.
And so, you know, once again, the realization is now quite clear that this is a full-out political battle. And either we're going to win it or we're going to lose it. But it is now up to us. It's on our playing field. It's where we can participate in the event. You know, if it was all left up to the courts, we're just bystanders. We're just observers. Now we are players, if we want to be.
Chris, one question that we haven't discussed for the last 4 weeks. What's going on in the Olympic trials? No, but you know what is really funny is the Olympics are the ultimate athletic contest, you know, in the world. And, like, no one even is talking about anything. What's going on in the boxing? What's going on in the sprints?
We may as well cancel the Olympics, because now that transgenders can compete as women, there's no point.
Well, okay. Russia loses their advantage.
Yes, that's true.
Look at this politically. Okay, all right. You got these Olympics coming up. Right. Going to be a disaster. It's going to be awful.
It's going to be awful.
So, does that make people feel better about government and things like that, or does it make
them?
Going to
make them question
the
viability of people running things, and that's another government that's just as corrupt as the day is long. But as we pointed out, They got an influx of, I think it was like $892 million, something like that, because they have no police protection in essence. These people are going around, they're getting murdered in the streets. There's the health aspect of the swimmers, you know. Oh, everything's a disaster. But you are right. It's going to reflect on government, particularly bad, incompetent government.
Right. And who do we now know is incompetent?
The Queen.
There it is.
Yeah, I know. Actually, it's horrible, but yeah, I was going to say, isn't that great, but it's horrible.
Let's just put it this way. If Hillary Clinton becomes president of the United States, we'll have no one to blame but ourselves.
Yeah.
Because
just like the Brockster.
The table is set. This woman is imminently beatable. And don't go blaming Donald Trump if rats don't go out and support him. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's up to the voters. And at the end of the day, that's where it's always going to be.
Back to the Olympics, Chris. How about this? I was watching the trials. I mean, you know, I like watching this because they are the greatest athletes in the world.
Yeah.
And I like the U.S. trials, which are always held at the University of Oregon. What a beautiful place that looks like on TV. But Randall Cunningham, remember him? The quarterback for the Eagles, right?
Yeah.
His daughter is, I think, either number one or two in high jumping, and she's only 16 years old.
Wow.
And she's going to the Olympics. I think she won her spot. And
great.
It was, I mean, I love watching. I like the 100-yard sprints. I love, you know, the 440s, the shot put. Oh, by the way, the two top shot putters in the world are Penn Staters. Excuse me. You know what I mean? But I wonder why they're not on the football team, because these guys obviously are exploded. They're big beasts. Hey, you guys better get on the team because we need help, you know. But that's pretty, you know, with this Olympics, I hate to see it shortchanged with the burying of politics. It's like nothing's going on. No one even pays attention to it.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
not good.
Yeah, more people are worried about getting the Zika virus
there. Which I understand that, too. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
See the golfers that are dropping out and, you know, like flies. I can imagine that kind. But, you know, why even have the Olympics in golf? Because when you have, like, the Masters, that is the Olympics.
I think this was the first.
If I'm good, I'm going to go try to win $10 million. I'm not going to go down to the Olympics and win a medal.
This was the first year, I believe, that they put golf in the Olympics.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
They're not going to like the response when half of them don't show up.
Yeah. I don't know. They've added a number of events to the Olympics that I always kind of questioned, because the Olympic athletes are all supposed to be amateurs, right?
Is softball back? Remember, like, softball was in and then out or something?
I'm not sure. But
I watched the girls, the
basketball.
World Series,
but
I didn't hear anybody talking about it. So I don't know.
Hey, you want to talk about another place, though, where the fix is in? Of course, that was the Olympic committees that were choosing these venues with bribery and all of that stuff. Remember?
Yeah.
What was it, Hans Blix or whatever?
Sort of like the Pro Bowl, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Sort of like that.
Yeah. This past weekend in Chicago.
Oh, another wonderful weekend, right, Chris?
Another wonderful weekend.
Remind me never to go there.
64 people shot. A number of them died. We don't have the exact number on how many died, but 64 people shot in violence in Chicago just this one weekend.
Well, you know, the thing we got to contemplate is when Black Lives Matter act like they care about blacks, they don't care about blacks. They need to get out there and join hands and sit on the street corners of all these cities where they all live. You know, if you're a Black Lives Matter guy in Baltimore or Detroit or Chicago, you got an obligation to get out there and help. Well, instead of sitting there looking for a safe place. What are you going to sit in your refrigerator? Well, come on. I mean, it's such a phony organization. Yeah, it turns me off.
Well, you know, I think you had the right idea. They should have their own guardian angels.
Yeah,
program.
I mean, this was done, and it was very effective.
Hey, but I'm starting to warm up to these Black Lives Matter folks. Oh. You want to know why?
Why?
Because they're making life miserable for Hillary Clinton.
And well, they, I'll be they, warming up, too.
And they promised to continue doing so. We got to understand that a lot of people don't like Hillary Clinton on the other side. And that what happened today
is not going to win love.
No. Yeah. It's just going to make them more adamant about what they're doing. And these Black Lives Matter people they're going to make their feelings known. Let's put it this way. And it's going to be problematic for Hillary Clinton.
Now, when you say, do you think they'll be actively in the convention, actually when screaming and yelling when people were doing speeches and stuff?
I don't know if they
maybe
will
they
actually
in,
gain
though.
Access.
Right. But they'll
but
be
if
outside.
They do, they will.
Oh,
I guarantee
boy.
You. And you were talking about...
Right. They're complaining that Hillary is not bringing up black the
issues.
Black vote and black
right.
issues.
Yeah.
And that they plan on protesting. So I can see them, if they cannot get in, they would be blocking the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how close they can actually get to the venue.
You've also got to remember that when Trump is talking, the police are there just to make sure things don't get totally out of hand and shots don't ring out.
Right.
However, with Hillary,
right.
they will probably, you know, drive the protesters back or put them in the back of a paddy wagon and take them off to jail.
Remember, she had rope around her, maybe tie them up against the trees
right.
or something.
No, I think I think those days of like the 68 Chicago convention, those days are over. When Larry and I went to the convention last year in Tampa, the protesters aren't going to be able to get anywhere near the venue. They won't get. We had to go through three checkpoints before we were able to go into the venue.
Really?
And then you had to show your ID to get into the venue. And they had that place barricaded. They had that place. You would have thought you were in Baghdad, okay? They had concrete barriers. They had big dump trucks blocking roads. They had the dogs sniffing your car. They looked with the mirrors on you. They had, I mean, the security left nothing to the imagination. So they even had the convention center looked out over the mm-hmm. Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. They even had like PT boats out in the bay there with divers.
Whoa.
But you've got to remember that Republicans tend to be more, how should I say?
Open.
Law-abiding.
Well, yeah.
Less
well,
no, violent.
No. We were the first day we went over there. If you remember, there were a lot of groups promising to protest Mitt Romney over there. There was one lowly, bedraggled group who was marching in downtown Tampa, about 2 miles away from the venue because that's as close as they could get. And by the way, it was pouring down rain that day.
Oh, that
I don't know
have
if you guys
fun.
Remember, but they yeah. canceled the first day of the convention yeah. last year because of a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they were over there marching in this storm. We didn't see them the rest of the week. Okay,
they all disbanded and went home.
Because they couldn't get anywhere near, yeah. you see, and all the TV cameras were in the venue.
Yeah.
Now, here's what they'll do in Cleveland. The TV cameras will go out
outside,
and find
sit
the
outside
protesters,
and look for them, right?
But they will not be in the convention center itself and in the Democratic Convention Center. Believe me, Hillary Clinton and their people are going to make sure that only friendlies get anywhere
get
near.
Now, a lot of Bernie people will get into convention, though, right?
They will.
And they're very boisterous.
They could.
And they could be a real embarrassing problem,
they
I would
could.
Think.
They
yeah.
could.
But
they
it's
could.
The Black Lives Matter guys that are turning over vehicles.
yep.
that are smashing windows, that are throwing rocks and Molotov cocktails.
That's the ones in Chicago.
Well, you think they're not going to be coming down here?
Well, let's see. They may be doing that. They may be doing that, but it won't be anywhere near the convention hall. It'll be cross town. But they may end up doing that. We'll see. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we got one more segment of the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and please stay with us.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots, ruined your black tie fair. Last one to know, last one to show, I was the last one you thought you'd see there. And I saw the surprise and the fear in his eyes, and I took his glass of champagne. I toasted you, said, honey, we may be through, but you'll never hear me complain.
I got friends in low places where the whiskey rolls and the beer chasing my blues away.
Okay, girls, keep your nighttime job, okay?
Well, I stay out of that one.
We know the Clintons got plenty of friends in low places, right?
Actually, that would be a very good song for their funerals. You know what I mean? I mean, think about that. They'd have a big, I guess, a state funeral or something and play that one.
Yeah, you know? For sure, for sure.
Imagine if people would show up, people we never heard of. Hey, this is Louie from Niagara Falls. I did a lot of work for that. What type of work did you do? It was body removal. What?
Speaking of body removals, the Clintons got another one. That did.
Oh, no.
I sent you another one. 47, yeah. Right?
Well, it's over 50 now, I think.
Yeah. Well,
this guy was out with weights.
Oh, don't tell me. It fell on him.
This was a
bench pressing.
Big guy in the UN.
Yeah.
Who was going to spill the beans on Hillary.
Right.
And he died of asphyxiation. Apparently a barbell crushed his larynx and killed him.
You got to be kidding me.
No.
I mean, I weightlift all my life. And I mean, come on.
I can't help but laugh. I cannot.
I know. I mean, and that's what the final verdict was.
Yes.
Oh. Was that done by the Supreme Court?
that was James Comey. Then
go back and look up who made the rule.
I mean, come on, is it any more ludicrous than our last Supreme Judge that died, who it was claimed to be?
Oh, now don't
natural
causes. Causing a
problem. But he had a pillow over his head.
Yeah, but that's how he naturally slept.
All right, we got just about time to find out.
Asphyxiation. Again.
Our final for the poll question for tonight.
Yeah, a little surge at the end, Chris. You may be happy. So we're asking, who does today's FBI report hurt the most, Clinton, Trump, or neither? A little bit of surge here. Hillary Clinton taking 50%. So half the voters think that's going to hurt her more than Donald Trump. Donald Trump at 37%, and neither of them at 13%.
Right on. All right. Thank you, Nick. Appreciate that.
You're going to take a look at the poll on the people that are calling in, all right? The demographics, they're what, 90% conservative?
In the choir, so to speak. Yeah, well, I value our listeners' opinion because we got a lot of smart listeners out there. Definitely do. And don't forget Thursday's contest, what went on behind closed doors. We'll call it the behind closed doors contest, right?
Well, I think there's going to be really some perverted answers.
We already
this.
Got one.
I know, and his was very good. Oh, boy. I mean, when you visualize what he said, it makes you sick.
Do you weigh 250 pounds, and are you wearing a thong?
That's what I said. I knew this would bring out the worst. You know, so this should be a real good one. So
should be interesting.
We'll
that's
be batting
sure.
ours out tomorrow, too. So
right.
It should be, hey, make an awkward day a fun day tomorrow.
Yeah, that's
I mean?
Right.
So,
that's going to be Thursday's contest.
Thursday,
and by the way,
right.
Colonel Danny McKnight will be here to help us judge that contest.
And then you're going to Cafe Positano.
That's right, afterwards.
So maybe the people should join us there.
That's right. And tomorrow we're going to have an author on. His name is Jack Cashill. And he wrote a book about, do you remember that TWA flight, I want to say 800, the one that went out of New York?
right.
and went down.
Down
and
into the,
a lot of people thought that it had been shot down.
Right. That was
and the FBI came out and said, no, it was the fuel tank, that an empty fuel tank, and a spark set off the fumes. Well, this author has written a book where he says, no, this was a terrible tragedy.
Were there any enemies of Clinton on the
Well, you know, Bill Clinton was the president at that time, if you remember.
Ooh.
So we'll be having that talk with Jack Cashill tomorrow night. Hope you will join us. And at any rate, thank you for listening to tonight's show. Thank you, callers. And thank you, folks who participated in the poll. Hang in there. It's up to us. We can do this. Night, everybody.